Good morning, let's get started. We are on the inaugural Daf Yomi Shir here for KSY. It's a Schos Devir. Thanks for waking up bright and early. It's great that the clocks changed back also. Matzei Shabbos, so that at least feels light outside when we wake up here in the morning.
That's a key thing.
Absolutely. Just a couple brief thoughts on the dynamic of the Shir, background to the Masechta, and then we'll get started. The Shir itself, first of all, my hope is to record every single Shir. As of now, we plan to upload it to a Google Drive folder, which makes it very accessible to mobile, to desktop. Send me your email addresses. I'd be happy to share the Shir with you, share the folder, so you're able to access it at any time for those that here, for those that are not, for those that are on the road, and you can access the Shir. We might also upload it to a Torah Shir. Yeah.
Your I'll website be leaving also. Next week for about a month.
Okay. So great. So if you'd like to access it, I'd be happy. Very accessible. In terms of the dynamic of the Shir itself, we plan to go through the Gemara with Rashi's Pshat generally, but not to read every Rashi inside, to read select Rashi's inside, to speak out select of the Rashi's, some Tosafos, some too, but to spend more time trying to get Pshat and then as much time as we can to try to bring in insights, Hashkafik, Halachik, most insights that we can take with us, I'd say practically take with us throughout the day. So that's the dynamic of the Shir itself. Feedback, open for discussion. Feel free to ask a question in the middle. If we have time, we'll be able to answer it. If I know the answer, otherwise we can get back to it. But that is a general overview. Okay, Maseches Sota. Maseches Sota is in Parshas Naso. It comes right before Nazir. Is everybody familiar with what a Sota is? Awesome, because
somebody blows up.
Fantastic. A sota, a brief overview before we start, and then, of course, we'll get into all the details, Mr. Hashem.
A woman, your partner can have.
Excellent. So very interestingly, as you said, the husband... Correct. So if a woman is suspect of being too close with a man, the husband can warn his wife not to seclude herself with a certain man. Minchas Chinuch in Shin Samach Hei actually says that it's not just with one man, but a husband can say, you're being a little bit too outgoing, dear wife. You can't be in Yichud with anybody. Others argue, but that's the Minchas Chinuch. So if a husband warns his wife, don't be with a certain person, or according to Minchas Chinuch, with anybody, and then she goes and she is miyached with a certain man, then if there are witnesses for both, and we'll discuss in the Mishnah right away how many two or one on both of those accounts, then she is brought to the Beis HaMikdash and she has to drink the Mei Sota, as it's called. And if she did commit adultery, then as you said, she will have some sort of blowing up. Her thighs will just kind of give out, her stomach will explode. It's a little bit of a graphic and a gruesome death. We'll go through the process, we'll go through how it works. Just something to realize in the process is that this is the only time in halacha that we rely on a nes to take place. It is the only time throughout the Torah that we rely on a miracle to take place to clarify what if. That's actually brought out. Yes, we can sometimes ask the choshen in times of the Beis HaMikdash what we should do, but this is the only time where it's lichatchila, this is what the Torah prescribes that we do. An unbelievable thing. Okay, let's get started in the Mishnah. Hamakani l'ishto. Hamakani l'ishto, one who warns his wife. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Makani lo al pishnaim umashka al pi eid echod. That he warns his wife, the warning has to take place with two eidim, umashka al pi eid echod. But to drink the waters, which means that the yichud can take place with just one o al pi atzmo. So again, the warning, the first stage of warning not to be with somebody, says Rabbi Eliezer, that has to be with two eidim. But the drinking, meaning the second stage, the yichud, has to just take place with one, or he himself can actually warn. Question: eid echad o al pi atzmo. Why does the Mishnah have to be redundant here? Can he be allowed if he's allowed to do the warning? Then why can't we just say, oh, al piatzmo, and then of course we know eid echad. Or just say eid echad, and that can be himself. Why both? Himself and Al Piatzmo? Says the Tosfos HaRosh nicely that each is bringing a novelty. If we had just said himself, we would have said only himself because it's his wife. He doesn't want his wife to go through that process, so he's going to be so strict on himself that only if he sees, then we'll bring her. Or, but another aid, a random aid, no way. Or maybe we'll say no, only it only works by a random aid, by a random witness, because he's not involved. He's not related. So therefore, he has a certain objectivity to the matter. But the husband, oh no, we can't allow him to testify. So says Tosfos HaRosh, that's why the Mishnah has to explicate both Al Pi Echad or Al Pi Atzmo. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, arguing with the earlier opinion, Mekanel Al Pi Shnayim, Umashka Al Pi Shnayim, both have to take place with two Edim. And this is what we pask in the Halacha, both have to take place with two Edim. Just for me, just to, you know, on a very practical note, mnemonic-wise, I try to remember things. So how do I remember this machlokas? Who says two and two and who says two and one? The way I did it personally, so I can remember it outside, is that Eliezer, the name Eliezer starts with an aleph. Aleph is one. So it's Rebbe Eliezer holds that one of them is one. Rebbe Yoshua is plural, Yud is plural, so he holds two all around. But Rebbe Eliezer says two and one. Kesan Mekanila, says the Mishnah, how does the kinoi, which means how does the warning take place? What's the process? What is the warning like? Omer la befei shnayim, says the note of Yehuda, by the way, that he can't warn through a shliach. Oftentimes, somebody can do something through a shliach. Here, that cannot be done through a shliach, it must be done through himself. So what happens if a husband tells his wife, in front of two eidim, al tadabri mishploni, dear wife, don't speak with that man. V'dibrimo, and then she spoke with him. Adain himuteris lebesa, nothing wrong there. Or at least in the sota process, she's still able to be with her husband. Umuteris lecho truma, and she's still able to eat all truma if she's an Ashes Kohen. Because what did he warn her not to do?
Talking.
To speak. Speaking's okay. Speaking's not adultery, and she spoke with him. That's fine. Next case, though, nichnasa imo lebeis haseser. But if he tells his wife not to go into yichud with a certain man, and then she went into yichud, lebeis haseser, into yichud with him, v'shasa imo kedei tuma, and she stayed with him there the amount of time to commit adultery, Rashi says kedei ha'ara. Rashi, right across a few lines up, is pointing out a machlokas that Emir Shem will have on Friday, a long machlokas, like eight opinions, as to what exactly is the act that has to be done, or how much time is yichud? How much time is that? What is yichud? How long is yichud? And on Friday, Emir Shem will have a big discussion. Is yichud the same amount of time for a chassan and a kala as it is for all of us? Very interesting, because for a chassan and a kala, we say 9 minutes or so. 9 minutes is much longer than we have, so we'll have a whole discussion why, and or Moshe Feinstein, why we have such a long period of time for Chasan and Kala, and we have a lesser period of time for now, for all of us in a regular case. But
now with the aiding to the Yichud,
these
people would have to be informed that the wife was warned. Otherwise they wouldn't be aware, they may not be aware that she's secluding herself with a stranger.
Right, so you mean that those aidim watching...
Yeah. How would they know?
Why would you need to know that?
They don't have to warn her, though. They just have to see it.
No, I understand it. Steps in the process. But if she's warned, and let's say somebody's walking by, two people walking by, they see her go into a secluded spot with a man.
Correct.
How would they know that this is a forbidden act?
Excellent question. So we don't know that's an excellent question in terms of yichud, in terms of what happened inside that room. Oh! We have no idea.
Or that she was forbidden from being with this particular
individual. Oh, wait, so that's A and B. A, in terms of how do you know that act happened, there's a Gemara elsewhere, I think, in Sanhedrin, that discusses what somebody actually has to see if the act happened. We're not discussing whether or not the act happened. We're discussing that Yichud took place after the warning happened. There's raglaim ledavar. There's evidence that maybe something took place. Mm-hmm. Therefore, she has to drink the sota waters. She's not being put to death for adultery right now because we don't know if adultery happened. Mm-hmm. But the yichud took place. In terms of the second thing you asked, as to how do they know that the earlier warning happened, that she is now going to be a sota, maybe they don't. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, two Edom show up to court and say, we warned her. Two other Edom come and say, oh, we also saw her do this. Boom, A and B. Then C would happen, and they would go towards mm-hmm. the Beis HaMikdash to have the Mesota.
So quite possibly B could happen, and nobody would be aware that there was a forbidden act.
Perhaps, yes. Yeah. It's very interesting. Asur lebesa. So in that case, what happens? She's asur lebesa. Asur lechol bit truma. And she's also unable to eat if she's married to a kohen. Then at that point, the marriage does not have as strong of a bond. She's not able to be with her husband out of suffolk, not vadai that she's that she committed adultery, but out of suffolk, and she's not able to eat any of the truma in mace. Now, what happens if in that period of time, once she had the warning and once she was miyached with that man, the mace? What happens if the husband dies and they had no kids? So generally, if a man dies and the husband and wife have no kids, then the man's brother is obligated to perform yibum, which means marrying his sister-in-law, the widow, to perpetuate the brother, the deceased brother's name. But here, because the marriage is right now in shambles, and we're not sure what the status is, choletzas v'lo misyabemes, then chalitza takes place by the brother, and yibum does not take place because that marriage does not have a strong bond.
He still has an obligation of his coin to feed her, even though it's not truma.
That sounds right. Right. They're still married.
Right.
But it's a very touchy time. And now that you brought that up, it's Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky who says that, going back on the intro, that the reason why this is the only time in the Torah that we rely on a miracle, nowhere else, but because the relationship between the husband and the wife is so special. And because once the husband has a real solid suspicion, not just suspicion, but he warned her in front of two, and then she had yichud in front of two with the same man. So even if, based in Paskins, we did our research, we did our analysis, and we don't think she was with him, it's not going to help. Says Rabbi Yaakov, in that case, to bring husband and wife together, the only way to do it is if Hashem Paskins, through a nes. Says the Gemara, Michti, Tana Minazar Salik, okay. A little bit of a, let's zoom out for a second. For those who were learning the Daf Yomi before, yesterday, and back, mi nazir solik. We just got off Meseches Nazir, mouth off to whoever finished. My tana, dika tana sota. Why are we jumping into sota right now? What's the connection between Nazir and sota? Kid Rebbe, like Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, the redactor of the Mishnah. D'tanya, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe Yehuda says, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi says, Lama nismecha parshas Nazir le parshas sota. Famous line, a lot of famous lines coming up. Why is parshas Nazir connected to parshas sota? In the Torah, interestingly, it's sota and then Nazir in parshas Naso. But here it's sota and then parsh and then Nazir. Lomer lecha, what's the connection coming? Teach us, shekola roa sota bekil kula. That whoever sees a sota in her disgrace in the Beis HaMikdash, when she's going through that process, that embarrassing process, yazer atzmo min hayayin, he should refrain from drinking wine. V'lisni sota v'hadra lisni nazir, says the Gemara. Wait. If Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says that the process is that if one sees a sota, they should become a nazir, then why not teach Meseches sota, and then a person should become a nazir, and then teach nazir afterwards, like it is in the Torah. Why in the Gemara, in Tar Shabal Pet, is it reversed? Answers the Gemara, I did the Tana Ksubis. Let's zoom out a little bit more. We taught Ksubis. The Tana Hamadir. Within Ksubis, we had a pair called Hamadir, which was all about Nadarm, Tana Nadarm. We taught, therefore, we connected it to Nadarm. The I did the Tana Nadarim. Once we taught Mesech Nadarm, Tana Nazir, the dummy, Linadarm. Then we taught Nazir, which is like a type of Neder. So again, it's Ksubis, Nadarim, Nazir, and then Fikatani Sota, Kidarebi. So once we already taught Nazir, let's just teach Sota. Even though you're right, one who sees Sota Bikil Kula should Yazir Aso Min Ayayin. But just like here, we already taught Nazir, so let's just kind of throw in Sota into that flow right over there. Question, says the Maral in the Gur Aryeh, Lama Nismacha? Do we always start every Gemara by saying, Lama Nisbacha? Oh, why do we connect it back? We have to have one, two. There has to be a connection. Does every Gemara begin with, like, what is the link between the first one and the next one? Why is this happening? Says the Maral, a fascinating insight, touching on a very big machlokas. Right, there's a seat here. Says the Maral beautifully, Lama Nisbacha is... Because usually, according to the Maral here at least, the Nazir is Kedusha, it's Kadosh. This person is abstaining from wine, he's getting close to Hashem on a very high level. So the Nazir is the Kadosh concept. Then comes Sota, which is seemingly a very Tuma kind of concept. So says the Maral, the question of the Gemara here is not just why do we connect the two random like we would do in every single Gemara. It's deeper than that. It's why do we have such a Kadosh Gemara like Nazir, and then connect it to such a Tuma kind of concept like Sota. And then the answer is that no, there's a real connection there between the two, and that's why we have it. It says the Preet Tzadok, Reb Tzadok, it says, it's Reb Tzadok Milublin, in a nice, beautiful way, that just like if the Nazir, if a person sees a Sota, but Kilkula, then he should abstain from drinking wine, says Reb Tzadok beautifully in his style, he says, everything we see is for a reason. So we should take what we see and take action from that. If we see something during our course of the day, Hashem wanted us to see that. What should we learn from that? So this person was happening to be walking by Har Habayis at that time. He's with his kids, and all of a sudden, whoa, there's a Sota! What does Hashem want him to think? What does Hashem want him to do? He says, Gemara, Yazer Asal Menayayin. He sees that. He should recognize how physicality, how materialism can lead people to do certain things. And even if a Sota is not really a Sota, and she didn't actually do anything wrong, she did do something wrong. She was miyached, which is not allowed, even if she wasn't, even if she didn't actually commit adultery. So too we, whatever we do see, we should take messages from it and have actionable, take action from that too. Okay, two dots. Sorry, not the two dots. Yeah, the two dots. Hamakane. Now that we know why Maseches Sota is right after Maseches Nazir, says Gemara, Hamekane, the Lashon of Hamekane, one who warns his wife, Hamekane Lashon, the first word in the Mishnah, seems to be Dieved in. Like, okay, if one warns his wife, then Dieved, this is the din. But really, one should not ideally warn his wife. Kasavar Tana Didon, which seems to be that our Tana of the Mishnah holds, Asur Lakanos. That the Tana of our Mishnah says that we are not able, a husband should not go ahead and warn his wife. Lechachila, it's not a good thing to do. But if he does warn his wife, so two are needed, and then two, and two, and one, that's the process. Rashi says, a few lines down from where we are, Asur Lakanos, which by the way, we'll have on the Gemara tomorrow. It's more about this, but just to take a look in the Rashi now. Shemevi atzmo lidei tagar. That if a husband's going to warn his wife, don't be with that man, that's going to bring to a lot of machlokas in the marriage. Es ishto lidei nivel. And his wife's going to have to go through this embarrassing process. The feel he tahor, even if she's tar. So they should try to work out their marriage in a different way. That's not the ideal way to go, to be warning one's wife. That's not the ideal process. Sorry? Marriage counseling would be a great idea. Warning and going to the Beis Hamikdash and having her potentially blow up is probably not the best approach to fix their marriage. Amar Bishmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak. Sam Agarta. Well, it happens to be that if she did not commit adultery, then also it's a bracha. She's going to be blessed with a child and an easy childbirth. Unbelievable thing that we have like these nisim going on both sides. She committed, like, she was miyached after being warned not, and she's being blessed. It's fascinating. So hopefully we'll discuss it at the Masechta. There's 49 blot this Gemara is often learned through the Sefer Omer, 7 weeks. But we have the privilege of learning it now.
That could be a strategy by a woman who's having trouble conceiving.
To be miyached. No. Probably not the best approach.
No, but it would be one approach to fertility.
One approach to fertility, hopefully also not being miyached and right. But we have other approaches that are done by our imahos through these weeks' parshios. A lot of tefillah, a lot of davening. When Rish Lakish began Masechta Sota, unlike Mo, but when Rish Lakish began Masechta Sota, Amrachi, this is how he started off. A person is only set up with his wife, according to his actions, says Rashi. What are Lefi Masav? What are his actions? Says Rashi, just a few words. About five lines up from the wide lines. Mezavgan isha lefi masav tsenua letzadiku prutz l'rasha. Interesting words here that are being connected. A tzaddik will get a tsenua, and a rasha will get a prutza. Interesting. Just put on the back burner. Shenemar, as we say in the Torah, in Tehillim, ki lo yanuach shevet harasha al goral hatzadikim. Because the shevet of the rasha, the rod of the rasha, will not rest with a portion of the tzadikim. Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan, Amar Rebbe Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Chanan says in the name of Rebbe Yochanan, v'kashin lezavgon kekriyas yamsuf. And it is seemingly difficult to set them up like kriyas yamsuf. Of course, for Hashem, it's not difficult to set them up, but there's some sort of process here that's challenging like kriyas yamsuf. We'll discuss that in a moment. Shenemar Elokim Moshe Michidin Beisa. Again, in a Tehillim, that Hashem puts people together. He's Meshadech Sheduchim, Motzi Asirim B'Kosha Ros. Just like he took us out of Mitzrayim, just like Kriyas Yamsuf, so too he sets people up in Sheduchim. Just two brief thoughts here. Going back on that Rashi, the Maharal comments that Tznuel Atzadik, Uprutzel Rasha, the Maharal in the Chidushe Agado says that in general, it's the Rashi on the first wide line, like Kriyas Yamsuf, Shinishtanu Sidre Bereshis. That when Hashem sets a husband and a wife up, he, so to say, the order of creation is like, you know, it's such an order of magnitude, says the Maharal, because it's really miraculous. We think about it, for any time that a husband and wife can get married, can get along and begin to build a family, says the Maharal. The personalities, the disposition, emotion, two separate beings coming together to raise a family is a very, very miraculous kind of thing. The famous book, Men Are From Mars and the Women Are From Venus, it's often said in Chassan classes that we have to read that kind of book. We do have to recognize that we complement each other and we come together to form a beautiful marriage, but that's, it's Shinishtanu Sidre Bereshis. Says the Marshon Ksubas Dav Zayin. Oh, wouldn't it have been easier? We just learned Parshas Bereshis. Wouldn't it have been easier to Hashem make Adam and Chava separately? Hashem creates two people. No, Hashem creates one person, and whether it's back to back or half, but then he takes Chava from Adam, however that was done, takes Chava from Adam. And then, boy meets girl, they get married. Why didn't Hashem just create two people? And then, Adam, this is Chava, Chava, this is Adam, and set them up and have them get married. Why create one, separate them, and bring them back together? Says the Marsha, very powerful thought, that when we are missing something that we have, we yearn for that thing. And when we return to that thing, it feels wholesome. It feels like Shlemos once again. On a materialistic note, when I was in Manhattan, I was living on the Upper West Side and I had my BlackBerry, back in the days when people had BlackBerries. And I had the type of BlackBerry, my fingers just fit, my thumbs just, it just worked in my hand. I really connected to it. I had a lot of information on it. And I really liked that BlackBerry. It wasn't just because things weren't backed up, but I lost the BlackBerry on the train. And I was trying to look all over and call. That BlackBerry was totally gone. I didn't just want a new BlackBerry, the same one. I wanted my BlackBerry. There was a relationship that I wanted that BlackBerry back. Hashem created Adam and Chava together, so that when they were separated, Adam and Chava wanted to get back to each other. They wanted to reconnect as they once were. They felt like they were two halves, not full without each other, and they wanted to come back to connect with one another, to reunite, to become one. Not one plus one equals two, but half plus half equals one once again. Says Rav Aviner, just to parallel it, Rav Aviner says that similar to a Gemara in Maseches Nida, why didn't we get taught the Torah in utero by an angel? The Malach comes, teach us the whole Torah! And then we get tapped. By the way, it's a common misconception that this thing, this indent above our mouth, is from the tap. But then we get tapped, and we forget all the Torah. Why? What's the point? If we're going to forget everything, then why get taught in the first place? It says Rav Aviner, similar to what we just learned by the Marsha. Whenever we learn, we're learning Daf Beis and Masechta Sota. We're reconnecting to it. We once learned this. It's deep. It's a deep part of our soul. And when we learn Torah, often we have that feeling. I know that I have that feeling. It's like, oh, We connect to it in a deeper way than just a random math or science or some sort of other class that we might take. But it's a part of us. It's a deep part of us. And we're reconnecting to that part. It says, anyway, is this so? We had Reish Lakish, we had Rabbi Yochanan, each saying like the miracles and bringing people together. Reish Lakish, by the way, said that a person is set up with a person like his actions. And it was Rabbi Yochanan who said that it's Koshin the Zavgan Kikriyas Yamsof. So Eini, is this so? Is what so? Machlokas Rashi and Marsha. We're about to ask on whether it's going on Reish Lakish or the Rabbi Yochanan comment. You'll see. Va'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Arbaim Yom. Another famous line. Arbaim Yom Kodim Yitzir Saflad. 4 days before a child is born. Bas Kol Yotzeis Vomeres. Bas Ploni Laploni. Beis Ploni Laploni. Sada Ploni Laploni. That means we see that a person's shidduch is set up before they're even born. Whether a person's house and a person's field. It's all kind of set up before a person's born. So what? So according to Rashi, this question is, so what do you mean a person set up according to his actions? He's not even born yet. Or according to Marsha, means, so why is it hard to set them up? Kasha kikriyas yamsof. Hashem set them up already before they were born. It's hard then. Let's just kind of set them up. Says the answer, what is Gemara's answer? Lo kasha habaziv grishon habaziv sheni. This line is not brought up in all those comments and all those different Torah that people say over. And you know, it's meant to be, it's a match. Papa Ziva Grisham, that Ziva Grisham, that the first marriage that somebody has, you're right. That's here that it's called out 4 days before a person's born. But the second marriage, as Rashi down here continues to explain, the second marriage, Zug Sheni, as Rashi says, Lafi Masa, Bakashan Lazavan, Lafi Sheinon Bas Zugo. So therefore, that's what we're referring to now about. It's hard to set them up, or a person set up according to his actions, but that's all in the second marriage. The first marriage is all about Hashem setting somebody up. Just a few brief points before we move on. Number one, just interestingly, if you ever take a look, in the Tosfos across from where we are, Kodem Yetzirat HaVlad, Nir L'Rebbe. Is this by a woman also? Is this by a man? Is this by a woman? Before a woman's born, a girl's born, does that Bas Kol go out too? Says Tosfos, no. Kodem Yetzirat HaZachar, only when a male is born. And interestingly, Bein Imlo Nolda HaNekeva, Dain Bein Im Nolda. That means that even if the girl's not born yet, she's going to be born in like 5 years. Still, a Bas Kol goes out before the boy is born. And even if the girl was already born 5 years ago, she's 5 years old. The Bas Kol will not go out for her, will only go out for her. Just an interesting thought. Number two, last thought in the Rambam now, before we go back to Masechet Sota. The Rambam in Shmona Prakim, where he talks a lot about Bechira Chafshis, free will. He speaks about Or Gemara. Why? What does he say? Because he says, this is a foundational Rambam, where he describes that a person's not born good or bad. This will come up soon with Yaakov and Esav. Not born good or bad, there's tendencies that a person will have. Personalities, a disposition, character traits. We see it with our kids, you know, like what kind of personalities they might have even at a young age. It's not that any one of them are good or bad. Certain of them are prone to do certain things, but they can all be channeled for better or for worse. So says the Rambam, that's what we all have inside of us, and therefore we have free will how to channel those personalities. Nobody's forcing us to wake up in the morning. Nobody's forcing us to come to Adaf Yomi. Sure, for some of us it's easier to wake up in the morning, some of it's hard. But we all have the ability and the free will to do and to act however we would like. But says the Rambam, way, there's certain parts of the Torah that seem to contradict or that seem to make challenging what I'm about to say, which parts of the Torah, for instance, Sota Daf Beis. What do you mean that God's going to set people up? Arbaim Yom Kodem Yetzirat HaVlad. But don't we have free choice? Isn't our choice what to do? What do you mean? You're going to set me up 4 days before I'm born? I want to have free choice who I want to marry. How does that happen? So says the Rambam, you're right. And here's the famous Rambam, like, Hashem knows. Hashem knows what we're going to do. He's beyond time. Hashem knows. We've all heard that. Just make it very practical from Rav Rosner, who's a Rav in Nofei HaShemesh. He says a very, very practical analogy that has worked for me for a long time. The Blue Jays were just in the playoffs. He doesn't use the Blue Jays. I'm using the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, the Toronto Blue Jays, first time in the playoffs in many, many years, since I think 1993. Now, what happened if I was a big Blue Jays fan?
They
I used to be. They are done. They're done. But what happens if I was a big Blue Jays fan? And I really wanted to watch every single game. But here, it's like played at 4 in the morning. So what happens if I ask my brother, or I just, you know, to record the game, the whole game, not just us, but to record the whole game, and to have it on YouTube, and I can go in afterwards the next day and watch it. But before I watched it on the train to Tel Aviv, I actually read the highlights. So I knew what happened in every single inning. I knew which home runs, which strikeouts, and which grand slams. I knew exactly what happened. And then all of a sudden, now I'm watching the game. Oh, and it's dramatic, and the crowd is cheering, and then all of a sudden it's the bottom of the ninth inning, and there's two outs, and the bases are loaded, and they're down by three, and you're looking at the pitcher's eyes and the batter's eyes, and there's a lot of drama there. Does the batter know whether or not he's going to strike out or hit a home run? Does he have free choice what to do? Does the pitcher have free choice what kind of pitch to pitch? Do I know what's going to happen? Absolutely. I read it this morning. I know exactly what's going to be. Does he know? Not a clue. Says Rosner, just a nice, simple way. Hashem is beyond time. Nowadays with movies, with videos, it's so easy to... Hashem is beyond time. Of course we have free choice what to do. And of course, he knows what's going to happen. Okay, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara right here, Rabbi Elazar, Mekanilov, Alpishayim, V'chulu. Back to the Machlokas we had, that there are, again, two stages here. There's Kinoi, there's Stira. Kinoi was, again, the warning. Stira was the Yichud, it was the seclusion. We have a third, which is, of course, the actual act itself. So we had a Machlokas in the Mishnah, whether two or one. Everybody agreed two for the warning. Machlokas two or one for the Yichud. Now we're going to have how many is needed for the actual act itself, if somebody does notice the actual act. The machlokas we had in the Mishnah 2 or 1 was by kinoi and stira. Avobatumah, but by the act itself, eight echad mehemon. One aid is going to be believed.
If it's an aid to the maisa?
Correct. And the Gemara elsewhere has an exact analysis of what that aid has to see.
But that's nothing to do with like Saita.
Right. This is a general discussion. What how many is needed for the actual act itself? Well, I mean, if not Sota per se, because if one aid saw the act, then she won't drink the sota water. So, de oraisa, that aid is believed that if, let's say, two people saw the warning, two people saw the seclusion, and then one person saw the act, does she drink the water? Says the Gemara, according to everybody, no. She's also not put to death, because there's not two witnesses, but she's believed that aid, echad, is believed enough that she's not going to drink the water, she's still suffering, she has to get divorced. I think without ksuba, as Rashi says, right. Elo yotza below ksuba, in the middle of the wide lines here. Yotza below ksuba, vasura libal, she's unable to be with her husband. Viliboel, she's also, by the way, not allowed to marry the man she committed adultery with. Vil truma, she can't eat truma. Says the Gemara. Utna nami, eda chodomer, we have a mission that supports this. Eda chodomer, ani reisi shnitmes. What happens if I saw that woman became tame? She committed adultery. Lo haisa shos, then she wouldn't drink the mesota. Midoraisa min alandam hamen eid achad. Biblically, doraisa, where do we know that one eid is believed? The Tana Rabbanan. We see in Bamidbar, and the psukim are all here. Parshas Noso, Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud Aleph. The eid ain ba. The Tana Rabbanan, the eid ain ba. That the Torah says the eid ain ba, where it goes through the process here of exactly what happened. And I highly recommend that if anybody has a little bit of time to read through the Pesukim here in Bamidbar, Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and onwards, it describes the whole process and what happens. So the first few Pesukim here, where it describes what she did, it says, Ve'eid ein ba, Ve'hi nitma'a, and she became tamei, Ve'eid ein ba. There was not an aid there, Ve'hi lo nisbasa, and she wasn't raped, meaning it was her choice. So what does it mean, Ve'eid ein ba? Says the Gemara, Ve'shnai makas medaber? Last wide line here, or the last line. Are we talking about two? Oh, eino elaf afilo bechot. Or is it one? The word aid, does aid mean one or two?
Singular.
Singular, right? So let's understand what this aid is referring to, because it seems to be one. Tamalomar. So, but we're not sure here, though, because it says, and the Gemara will say this soon, but if it's ve'aid ein ba, meaning that there was no aid there, then how many people are there? One minus one is zero, so it can't mean one. Anyways, we'll discuss that. Tam lomar lo yakum eid echad be'esh. So let's take a different source elsewhere. In Parsha Shoftim, where it discusses Edom elsewhere, this is the big topic about Edom, and it says eid echad, mimashash namar lo yakum eid be'esh. Once it already said their eid, ein yodeh shehu echad, don't I know that eid, as Shalom said before, eid is one. So why say matam lomar echad? Why say the word eid echad in that context elsewhere? Lo yakum eid echad be'esh. Why say eid echad? We know that eid is echad. Matam lomar echad? Zebana av. Because that, in Parsha Shoftim, builds a principle that runs across Shas. Kol mokom shenamar eid, usually we would think eid is one. But now we have a principle, that anytime where the Torah uses the word aid, hari kan shnayim, aid means two. Ad sheyifar lecha akos of echad, until the Torah also writes another word, aid echad. Aid echad is one, but aid is two. V'amar achamana, therefore let's go back to our context here by Sota. By Sota it says tuma. It says, v'aid ein ba, which means how many is there? Ve'ed Einba means two now, right? So Ve'ed Einba, there weren't two there. There was one there. Ve'ed Einba, Treles Ba Elachad. Ve'ilon Nisbasan, she wasn't raped. Asura, then in that case, she's Asur. So again, we learn from this outside source in Parsha Shoftim, usually Eid means two. Because Eid Einba, there was no Eid there, must mean that there's one. And therefore, now that there is one Eid, that means, that's why we prove that one Eid is believed if they see the act itself. Good?
Can it also mean that there was no Eid in there at all?
If there's no Eid in there, then why? Then the Gemara is about to ask, and why she ushered her husband? Who saw this? Who's telling? Is there a birdie who's giving up this testimony?
We're talking about the act or the fact that there be yichud.
This is v'nitma'ah. This is the next case where somebody actually saw the fact that they were tameh, that they actually committed adultery. So the eid ein ba means that in that case, we allow one person to see it, to actually validate that it happened, enough that she'll be ushered her husband. Now, the Gemara for the next 13 lines will try to ask why we need this outside source to prove that. Don't we already know from here that eid has to mean two? Let's see. We learn that from Parsha Shoftim, eid echad be'ish. Halafachi, but without that other pasuk from Parsha Shoftim, havmin eid de sotachadu, what I really thought that eid by sotachad, which we said before, is eid one or two here. Eid ein ba. Is it one or two? V'ilafilu chaleka, but wait, as we just asked before, v'ilafilu chaleka, if there's no eid, so when the Torah says v'eid ein ba, there was no eid, el b'may mitzrah. So why is she usher to her husband? Who saw this? Who's coming and testifying that this actually happened? Itzrich. So now the Gemara is going to prove a number of times that when it says that when we bring the other pasuk, we need the other pasuk, and we can't infer from our pasuk itself that eid means two. Meaning eid could mean one here, and therefore we need the other pasuk to show that eid is two, and therefore it's brought down to one.
Why can't we be talking about a case where she confessed?
Good question. It really seems like from the context here, v'shochav ish osa shechvas zera, a man lied with her, v'nela me'ene isha, and it was hidden from her husband. Her husband did not see. V'nistera, and there was also yichud, of course, v'hi nitma'a, v'eid ein ba, and there was no witnesser, v'hi lo nisbasa. And then it continues to go on to say how she's usher. So it never does it say, the Gemara seems to not even bring that up, but never does it say, it says v'eid ein ba, specifically focusing on the witnesses. It's a good question. The Gemara doesn't even bring that out as an option. It just kind of goes along the lines of saying eight has to mean two, because otherwise we can't be talking about zero.
Otherwise we wouldn't know about it. Okay.
Right. There's nowhere here that she confessed.
She wouldn't be believed anyway.
No? Good question. Would she believe herself? Good question. How about if a woman comes like after the kinoi and the stira? Well, if after the kinoi and the stira she confesses that she was with the man, then does she drink the mesota? No. So that's why they actually take a circuitous route to the Beis HaMikdash. They try everything that they can to make sure that she doesn't drink the waters, because we don't want her to drink the waters. We don't want her to have to go through this process of whether or not she'll, you know, have a gruesome death. We don't want that to happen. So we try to do everything that we can to avoid that. So she would be believed in that case. General case, if a woman comes to the Beis and says, oh, I committed adultery, I'm not sure what the din would be in that case. Is she believed or is she not believed? Would she have to divorce her husband?
The only strange instance here is that there's even if there's only one Ed, there's still two. Because there's still the person that she's actually doing the act with.
If he decides to come forth and testify.
I'm saying, but there is actually two. There is the existence of two.
Interesting.
Wouldn't that be a way for her to force her husband to give her a divorce, to give her a get?
Without a ksuba.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a ksuba. So the big thing here is the ksuba.
So what
could it mean? It's not that there wasn't two, but there was one. But it could mean that there's one eid neman ba, but there's only one eid, but she's not believed. That eid is not believed. Elamai. So bayi adeka tre. We have to wait until we need two. Of course, we need two. Lishto kramine. Let the Torah just be silent. To asa davar davar mi mamon. We can learn it from mamon, which means that we have the concept in. It's brought down in the Rashi here what the context is, but we have a famous Gzer Shava throughout Shas that we always need two. Dover, Dover, Mimaman, we always need two. Generally, we need two, this is always. Only in certain cases might we believe one, but generally we need two, and therefore, It can't just mean here that we need one. So it's derech again. We need this external pasuk, and we can't just learn it from sota itself. Sota daitach, amina sota shiny. I would have thought to say that sota is different. Why? Dereglein ladavar. There is evidence to it. What's the evidence? Shari kinlov and istera. She was already warned. She already went into yichud. We know that. And then there's one that says, oh, she was metame. She committed adultery. So we need that because in that case, maybe one is fine. So listen about edechot. So maybe one would be believed. And therefore, again, that's why we need external pasuk to show that we're not talking about two, but it's one. Umimat zamrat ein neman. Really, is it that she that 1 8 is not believed, Visharya, and then she's going to be allowed to be with her husband? From the context of the pasuk there, it's she's ushered her husband. So again, it's right, last time. Amina a nemon ba ad ikotre. Let's add a few more words here. That when it says aid ein ba in the context of sota, it means that there is 1 8. And that aid is not believed until there is two, ubitre nami, and even by two, he delonis basa, that's when she's not raped, kamash malan. So therefore, again, we need the other pasuk back and forth, we do need the other pasuk, we can't just learn it, minei ubei, we can't just learn it from the context of sota itself, we need the other pasuk from Parsha Shoftim to show that aid is generally one, aid echad, sorry, aid is always two, until it comes to specify aid means one. Therefore, back to the sota here, what we learn here is aid ain't ba. There wasn't two, there was one. Two dots. My time is Rabbi Yoshua. Again, it's Rabbi Yoshua holds two and two, the halacha. Omar Kra, the Torah says the word aid ain't ba. So ba. Why does he say two and two? Ba. Because ba, aid ain't ba in the actual tumah, which is the context we just had before. Aid ain't ba means that there wasn't two in the tumah, in the actual act of adultery. V'lo b'kinoi ba v'lo b'stira. But one is only believed ba in the tumah, in the act of adultery. But in the actual kinoi, in the warning, or in the actual stira, two are needed. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ba. So what does Rabbi Eliezer say? Who says kinoi needs how many? Two. Two. And stira needs how many?
One.
So why does he hold, why does he argue with Rabbi Yoshua and say one is also allowed, not just by tumah, but also by stira? Says Rabbi Eliezer, ba v'lo b'kinoi. Ba means one, but v'lo b'kinoi. Kinoi means two. Vema ba v'lo b'stira. Oh, wait. If you're going to say that ba is pairing up with either stira or the kinoi, then why not v'lo b'stira? Why not stira needs two and the kinoi needs one? So says the Gemara, the stira is itkash l'tuma. Stira is compared to tuma. Why? Diksiv v'nistira v'hinitma. Because they're put together in the Torah. V'nistira, she had yichud and then she committed adultery. So says the Gemara, wait, kinoi nami itkash l'tuma. The kinoi is also compared in the Torah. It's in the same pasuk. It said the kinoi is ishto v'hinitma. Therefore, why again does Rabbi Eliezer say that the stira needs one, like the tuma, and not that the kinoi needs one? Why say two for warning and one for the yichud? And she's Gemara, hamit rachaman abba. No, because the Torah says ba. Ba is a miyate. Means that we have to be mimayed. We have to say that there's one in a different context. So it says, wait, great, umar isa. So again, we have to have one somewhere else. Not just one by tumah, says Rabbi Eliezer, but we need to include one witness also by either kinoi or stira. So it says, umar isa. So why have one by stira and not by the kinoi? Answer the Gemara Mistabra. Stira adifa. Stira seems to be better to have one. Why? Shekino sarta ketuma. Because stira is actually what makes her usser. It's that second stage in the process. She actually becomes usser from there to be with her husband. After kinoi, is she able to be with her husband? Yes. Can she eat the truma? Yes. So stira is actually what sets her in this process of going to drink the mesota. Says Adarab. Don't tell me it's the stira, it's the kinoi. Again, we're going back and forth. Where should the one witness be included? Kinoi adif. Kinoi is better. Why should Cain ikar garmla? Kinoi should have one. Because it's the kinoi that sets this whole process into motion. Not just the stira, which then she's also to be with her husband. But without kinoi, then who cares what happened by the stira? Ilav stira, kinoi miyekab. Oh, wait, if there was no stira, then who cares about the warning? Ilav kinoi stira mi mayahani. You know, keep going back and forth. Without the stira, the kinoi is meaningless. Without the kinoi, the stira is meaningless. So again, which part should Rabbi Eliezer include to mean one? Filohachi stira difa, says Gemara, says, and the Gemara concludes there in Rabbi Eliezer, the stira is better. Why? Das chalta de tumahi. Stira is the beginning. It sets everything into motion. Stira is not just the process, which is the kinoi, which is the first stage, but stira is actually where they were in a situation where they could perform the act. Kinoi, the warning, there was no situation happening right then. But stira is where they went into yichud, and that process could take place. She makes herself vulnerable for that act to take place right then and there. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would say that 1 8 is needed there. Masisin deloy ki atano. Masisin, our Mishnah that agreed. Let's just do a few more lines here. Our Mishnah that agreed. 644. Let's stop here. Okay? Let's stop here. We'll finish up some more famous lines tomorrow. Thanks for coming. I wish us a great day. We had an aschalta for Mesechta Sota. Wish you all a beautiful day and hope to see you tomorrow morning.